Good morning, Paddy.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I guess a good first question to start with is talking about the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child placement policy, and it was introduced in the 70s. Could you explain what that policy is and why it was introduced?
Well, the policy came about as a result of activism from Aboriginal children's organisations and the Aboriginal activists community more broadly, you know, fighting to try and keep children, Aboriginal children, in the care of their own families and their own community. This campaign came in the wake of, you know, the explicit policies of assimilation that had led to the mass removal of Aboriginal children from their families for much of the 20th century. And as the black movement in Australia gained strength through the 1970s, one of the first things people took on was fighting against welfare agencies who were continuing to remove children and forcing a reversal in policy towards you know, one more in line with self-determination, providing some funding and responsibility to locally controlled Aboriginal organisations. So that's the sort of the genesis of the policy, but we're a very, very long way from those days now.
Yeah, right. I guess talking about from those days, currently the rate of Indigenous children in out-of-home care is 10 times that of non-Indigenous children. This is obviously a very complex issue, but could you talk a little bit about why you think the removals are so prevalent?
Well, I mean, I guess it is complex, but on the other hand, it's also very simple. I mean, there's real social crises across Aboriginal communities right across Australia that result from the marginalisation of those communities, the racism that they're subjected to, the acute neglect by the government of basic services that communities should be entitled to. This is internationally recognised that Australia has this, you know, horrific treatment of Aboriginal people, consistent condemnation from the United Nations and other bodies of the poverty that Aboriginal communities are held in and the explicitly racist policies that they're subjected to, such as the Northern Territory intervention. So it's very, very, very well established that communities are really struggling as a result of years of marginalisation under government policy. And so that leads to a situation where many children are in quite vulnerable circumstances. You know, we've got, you know, high rates of alcohol and drug misuse, high rates of family violence, high rates of homelessness, all of the sort of things that lead to removal of children for neglect, both non-Indigenous and Indigenous children. But the systemic neglect is being suffered by the Indigenous communities at such a higher rate. You also have a very racist welfare system. You have judgments being made by frontline welfare workers day in, day out, where Aboriginal people are viewed as a threat. Aboriginal families are viewed as a threat to children by virtue of their Aboriginality. So, you know, even when there may be circumstances which are quite challenging for children, rather than looking at the strengths that exist within families and communities to try and, you know, provide some resources to turn situations for children around, judgments are made that, you know, removing that child from an Aboriginal setting entirely, taking the child out of their community is the way to go. And that's precisely the sort of attitude that governed the removal policy for much of the 20th century. So we're really living through a modern-day stolen generation on precisely the same scale and with precisely the same levels of overt racism and discrimination and the same destructive impacts taking place today as took place through the 1930s, 40s and 50s.
So I guess in your opinion, is the child placement principle being followed still, or is they've kind of backflipped on that principle?
Well, sometimes it's been followed. I mean, you know, there is a percentage of Aboriginal children that are placed back with their Aboriginal family, but it's a minority. You know, it's about 35%, and the figure's declining, of Aboriginal children who are placed with their Aboriginal family. It's probably just over half of Aboriginal children that are placed in some kind of Aboriginal setting, so with Indigenous strangers or in a care home run by an Indigenous organisation. Both of those outcomes are, you know, very, very disruptive for children, still, you know, have a real impact on the capacity of children to grow up in their own culture. Just because someone happens to be Indigenous, it doesn't mean that they can provide a child with that sense of identity. Not to say there aren't some really, really good Indigenous foster carers out there doing the best they can in a very sort of challenging environment, but the reality is that there's a massive out-of-home care industry, which is a multi-billion-dollar industry, I mean, you know, we're talking literally about billions of dollars being spent every year on keeping children in out-of-home care in Australia. And the vast majority, you know, of the time, Indigenous children are subjected to a very, very disruptive placement or multiple disruptive placements or permanent placement, increasingly, completely divorced from their family and from their community. And, you know, that has precisely the same impact on those children as we saw documented in the Bringing Them Home report and the horrific impacts on generations of Aboriginal children through the 20th century. So it's a very, very serious problem. It's one that can't just be fixed by, you know, perhaps more Aboriginal placement of children being removed. There really has to be a complete reversal in policy approach away from the idea that a punitive child protection system that goes in and forcibly takes children away from their families, often with police, often in, you know, very, very confrontational circumstances, that is not a solution to the really serious social issues that are out there, you know, that are faced by Aboriginal communities. Those communities themselves know how to address those crises and they need the resources to do so on their own terms.
Definitely. You did touch on the placement policy, which was introduced in an effort to maintain a children's connection to family, community and their sense of cultural identity, according to the Australian Institute of Family Studies. Why is it important for Indigenous children to stay in Indigenous families?
Well, they have a right to stay in their family. I mean, you know, the state has no right to just go in and break up families and rob a child of its identity. And there's, you know, particularly an importance with Aboriginal children, given the history of genocidal policies in Australia of breaking up Aboriginal families and communities in order to effect assimilation and try and, you know, forget that there ever were Aboriginal people here. You know, that's been a foundational element of the colonisation of Australia, has been the forced removal of children from their families. And sadly, it's an approach which continues and it has horrific, horrific consequences. I mean, there's reports which detail this. You know, the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody, the majority of the people who had died in custody had started their relationship with the state, you know, by the state forcibly removing them from their families. The Bring Them Home report, as I've said, we've seen the terrible, terrible impacts on mental health, you know, on life expectancy, on quality of life that come with that very profound disruption from being forcibly removed from your family and your culture.
Yeah, it's definitely a very important issue that Australia really needs to get on top of and hopefully discontinues this kind of culture of taking Indigenous children away from their own families, which it sounds a very bad thing to pretty much say out loud, taking children from their families. So we should really just, we need to get on top of policy and stopping that immediately. Thank you so much, Paddy, for talking to us this morning.
No problem.